Good Friday is good because Jesus went to the cross. And just before passing away, he said, "It is finished." Kids, can you say, "It is finished"? You can do better than that. It is finished. Awesome. Now, for the rest of the service, you just need to obey your parents. And they'll be thanking the Lord for children's ministry. That indeed is why Good Friday is good. We celebrate the resurrection this weekend, tonight. It's what Jesus did. Our strong tower, triumphant, put to death sin on the cross, died for each and every one of you. And you cannot perfect on that salvation. You can't. You can only live it out. You can only live it out because he did it all. He did it all. Over 700 years before Jesus died on the cross, Isaiah wrote about the servant of the Lord, the coming Messiah. Here are just a few of Isaiah's prophecies about Jesus. He prophesied that Messiah would be born a virgin. Messiah would come in the lineage or the line of King David. Messiah would heal the sick, cause the blind to see and the deaf to hear. He prophesied that Messiah would have power over wickedness, that Messiah would work miracles, that Israel, his people, would reject him. Messiah would die and be resurrected, that Messiah would die for the sins of mankind, that Messiah would be a suffering servant. Every one of those Isaiah prophesied. And we are here tonight because 700 years later, after those prophecies, Jesus Christ was born, lived out his life and his ministry, fulfilled his mission as the servant of the Lord, and went to the cross and took the punishment we deserved so that anyone could put their faith in Jesus and be saved. 700 years later. 700 years ago, it was the year 1325. Anyone know anything that happened the year 1325? Me neither. That's a long time ago. That would be like in 1325, okay? Someone prophesying that a red-haired tycoon would become president, then not be president, then be president again. And that's just one prophecy. Jesus fulfilled over 300 Old Testament prophecies. Could take us quite a while to look them all up. Let's pray. God, we thank you for tonight. We thank you that we can celebrate your victory on the cross. We thank you that you thought of us. We thank you that you were gracious, that you were merciful, even in death. Lord, be glorified as we spend a little time in your word tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Luke 9. We're going to start in verse 46. Just a little bit of background. Jesus is in his third year of ministry with the disciples. He sent the disciples out. The disciples have gone out. They've cast out demons in Jesus' name. They've healed. They've healed the sick. They've told people about the coming of the kingdom. Jesus has been transfigured before Peter, James, and John. He was seen with the Moses and Elijah. Jesus fed the 5,000 and a lot of other awesome stuff that went on. Jesus also told them about his coming death. So here we are in Luke 9 and verse 46. And this happens. Then a dispute rose among them, the disciples, as to which of them would be the greatest. Now, at this point, we're going to cut the disciples a little bit of a break. In their mind, Jesus was going to take over a king, an earthly king, right now. They were starting to put together the cabinet, the vice president, the secretary of state. I'm sure James and John were going to be the head of the DOJ, the Department of Justice, the Sons of Thunder, right? That's where their headspace was. And they naturally started thinking about themselves. Jesus uses this as a teaching moment. Verse 47, and Jesus, perceiving the thought of their heart, perceiving the thought of their heart, yes, he can do that. Which is why on a regular basis, Christians, we should say, Lord, give me a new heart. Because whatever's going on in there, you see, and I don't want you to see some of that stuff that goes on in my heart. Perceiving their heart. He took a little child and set him by him and said to them, whoever receives this little child in my name receives me, and whoever receives me receives him who sent me. For he who is least among you all will be great. Jesus says, don't think about greatness. Think about being a servant. Think about it. Jesus is thinking about this child. They're somewhere on the road. They're on their way to Capernaum. So there was probably a crowd with them. Maybe they were at a stop somewhere, and Jesus knew what they were thinking. Grabs this child, says, this is what you need to be thinking about. This is where your headspace needs to be, disciples. The needy, the ones that you can serve. You see, children at that point were just kind of an oversight until maybe they reached 13, you know. You just never mind them. But Jesus did. Jesus did. Kids, Jesus knows your name. Jesus knows your name. You are important to him. Always remember that. Always. He says, think. Worry about being a servant, not about being great. Now, Mark kind of continues this. So you're in your Bible, turn to Mark chapter 9. And we'll start at verse 33. This is one of those accounts where we'll find a couple of different views of it and narrations of it. And when you put them together in the Gospels, you have a little bit more of a picture. Mark 9 and 33. Then he came to Capernaum. So they were on the road to Capernaum. Now they're in Capernaum. And when he was in the house, he asked them, what was it you disputed among yourselves on the road? You see, he hadn't told them back then. He just brought the child and gave them a little lesson in what it means to be great. Verse 34, it says, but they kept silent. No doubt. For on the road they had disputed among themselves who would be the greatest. But Jesus is gracious. Look what he does. And he sat down, he called the 12, and said to them, if anyone desires to be first, he shall be last of all and servant of all. Do not seek greatness, seek to be a servant. And the disciples said to each other, we are so busted. That was extra biblical. Verse Jesus says, you know, being a servant means you're going to carry an extra load. It's different than being great. It's different than being in authority. It's different than telling people to, you know, do this, do that. You got to do the work. You got to carry the load. And if you're carrying an extra load, and it maybe it doesn't seem fair, and maybe it's not fair, and you didn't ask for that load, but for some reason, Jesus had confidence in you that you could carry that load. And he wants to hear when you're weak, and when you get tired, and when you need strength, and when you need understanding. And he will help you carry that load. And when you carry that load as unto him, it'll be a lot lighter. And it will come with an awesome blessing. An awesome blessing. Now, we're going to fast forward from this road to Capernaum. And this was several months, perhaps up to a year later, okay? Jesus has ridden into Jerusalem on a donkey. He's cleansed the temple, turned over the money changers, made the religious leaders really, really mad. And the plot now was conceived to kill Jesus. Jesus is now with the disciples, where we pick up. By the way, we're going to pick up in Luke chapter 22. Jesus is with the disciples in the upper room the night of his arrest. And they have shared the Passover meal together. And two things are going to happen. A lot of things are going to happen. But two that we're going to point out tonight. The first one is going to be in Luke 22. And the second one's going to be in John 13. Luke 22, after supper in the upper room. Verse 24 of Luke 22. Now there was also a dispute among them as to which of them should be considered the greatest. And Jesus, perceiving them to be ADHD with narcissistic tendencies, fired them all. That's extra biblical. You know, he loved these men. And he didn't cast them away and he didn't fire them. There's not even real evidence that he just gave them the what for. Aren't you glad Jesus is a gracious Savior? He understands our ADHD and our selfishness. He died for it. Verse 25. And he said to them, "The kings of the Gentiles, they exercise lordship over them. And those who exercise authority over them are called benefactors." In other words, people who get money off of other people. We're not going to talk politics tonight. Verse 26. "But not so among you. On the contrary, he who is greatest among you, let him be as the younger. He who governs as he who serves." And I would submit to you, if you've been placed in a position of governing or authority, or anyone underneath you, maybe you're a manager. What a lesson. What a lesson. You can never go wrong in serving those that are under you. You might get upset with them. You might have to reprimand them. You might even have to fire them. Be gracious. Do what you have to do in your authority. But be gracious. Verse 27. Jesus says, "For who is greater, he who sits at the table or he who serves? Is it not he who sits at the table? Yet I am among you as one who serves. Jesus says, I have the authority, and yet I am here showing you. You see, he's teaching them servant leadership. He taught them back when they were on the road, and then when they were in the house, and now here again, he's just teaching them their knuckleheaded selfishness, and he's just teaching them. He's just teaching them. Guys, I'm here to serve, because true greatness, that's what it does. It serves. Turn now to John 13, and we'll see the second thing that happens that night after dinner. John 13. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should be that he should depart from this world to the Father, having loved his own, who were in the world, he loved them to the end. He loved them to the end, John says. These guys, once again, arguing about who would be the greatest, he loved them to the end. Verse 2, and supper being ended, the devil having already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, rose from supper, laid aside his garments, took a towel and girded himself. And after that, he poured water into a basin, began to wash his disciples' feet, and wiped them with the towel that he had girded around himself. Now Jesus would have had to stoop down on his knees. The dirt from their feet would be on the towel and on the water. It would be on his skin. It would be on God's skin, the King of Kings' skin, our Lord and Savior's skin. The dirt from them was on him. The ultimate posture and picture of a servant. What is Jesus doing now? He's showing them servant leadership. He's showing them servant leadership. He taught them, now he showed them. Verse 6. Then he came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, Lord, you are washing my feet? Jesus answered him and said, what I am doing, you do not understand now. But you will know after this. Peter said to him, you shall never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I do not wash you have no part with me. A symbol of us and the requirement of coming to Jesus to wash away our sins. Verse 9, Simon Peter, sometimes he didn't always get it, but once he got it, he got it. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus said to him, he who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean, and you are clean. They had submitted to Jesus. They were knuckleheads, but they had submitted to Jesus. But not all of you, for he knew who would betray him. Therefore he said, you are not all clean. Yes, Jesus washed Judas' feet. Verse 12. So when he had washed their feet, taken his garments, and sat down again, he said to them, do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, well, for I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash the feet of one another. greatness doesn't matter, but serving one another and each other is everything, Jesus says. It's everything. Verse 15, for I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Follow my example. Verse 16, most assuredly I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. Now look what he says in verse 17. If you know these things, if you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. Once receiving salvation by Jesus Christ, learning the way that we can, and in these last days, God has made learning his word abundant. Praise the Lord, we all get to be part of this fellowship where that's priority. And we learn the word of God. But you see, we're only learning for one thing, and Jesus wants us learning for one thing, to go and then and do it. To do it. He said, he taught them. He set the example. He showed them. And then he went out and became our ultimate servant on the cross. Do you know God knew your name as he took on flesh, became subject to men, and died the worst death on the cross for your sin? He knew your name. Let's pray. God, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your sacrifice. Jesus, for your victory. Jesus, because you overcame for us. Jesus, because you paid the price for our life. God, give us the strength to give our lives back to you. God, make us servants. Help us to see you as the ultimate servant and to follow you all the days of our life. Lord, we thank you and we praise you and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.